This final deep dive of May 2023 is from Villarreal and colleagues. Effect of two-year calorie restriction on bone metabolism and bone mineral density in non-obese younger adults, a randomized control trial, published in the Journal of Bone and Mineral Research in 2016. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. The human skeleton is not a biologically inert structure, but rather a live organ tissue comprised of minerals and proteins, and is in a constant state of flux throughout the lifespan. This flux, which is characterized by bone formation and bone remodeling processes, can be broadly divided into three distinct phases. The first is the period of bone growth through infancy and adolescence, primarily is the size and length of bone, and this is up to around 20 years of age. The second is the period of bone consolidation, where bone length growth has ceased, but bone continues to acquire mass and change shape, and this is in early adulthood from around 20 to 34 years of age. And the third is the period of bone remodeling, where the rate of bone breakdown, also known as resorption, begins to exceed the rate of bone formation. And this occurs from around 34 years of age onwards. While 60 to 80% of bone mass is genetically determined, 20 to 40% is influenced by lifestyle factors, with nutrition and physical activity the two most influential factors. Thus, the ability to reach one's full genetic potential for bone development is dependent on appropriate nutrition and physical activity levels. Nutrients are critical to the processes of bone formation and resorption throughout the life cycle. The two most abundant minerals in bone are calcium and phosphorus, both of which are required for mineralization, i.e. the hardening of bones, through formation of a structure known as hydroxyapatite. Magnesium, potassium, and sodium bind to and support this structure. Bone formation and the uptake of calcium and phosphorus into bone are mediated by vitamins D and K. Thus, adequate intake of multiple micronutrients is required for optimal bone health. However, as nutrient intakes are themselves a function of total daily energy intake, it is surprising that energy intake is often an afterthought for bone health. Indeed, two reviews of the role of nutrition in bone health make not a single reference to total energy intake. Nevertheless, cross-sectional studies have demonstrated positive relationships between total daily energy intake and bone mineral density, or BMD, i.e. higher energy intakes associated with greater BMD. To date, there are no randomized controlled trials, or RCTs, examining the effects of deliberate energy restriction on bone markers beyond 1 year. The present study was a secondary analysis of bone health markers from a two-year RCT of sustained energy restriction. The study. The CALORI trial, which is an acronym for Comprehensive Assessment of Long-Term Effects of Reducing Intake of Energy, was a two-year RCT that investigated the effects of sustained energy restriction in otherwise healthy individuals. Healthy adults aged between 20 and 50 years of age with either a normal weight or overweight body mass index, or a BMI of less than 28 kilograms per meter squared, were recruited and randomized in 2-to-1 order, i.e. 2 to the intervention group, 1 to control, to one of these two groups. The intervention was a 25% reduction in energy intake from maintenance levels of individually calculated daily energy requirements. No type of diet or macronutrient prescription was given to participants in the intervention group. Participants were provided with an intensive behavioral intervention, including individual and group counseling and self-monitoring of dietary intake. The control was ad libitum energy intake. Participants in the control group were advised to continue with their current diet with no restrictions on energy intake. Similarly, no type of diet or macronutrient prescription was given to participants in the control group. All participants were supplemented with 1,000 IU of vitamin D3 and 1,000 milligrams of calcium per day. Participants in the intervention group were provided with all meals for the first 27 days of the study to maximize adherence and become accustomed to portion sizes. Change in bone mineral density and turnover markers were the main outcomes of the present study. Other outcomes included body composition, diet and nutrient intakes, grip strength, and physical activity. Results. 118 participants completed the full two-year study, 117 in the intervention group, and 71 in the control group. Under the principle of intention to treat, which we'll discuss further in the Geek Box, the final analysis included 218 participants, 143 and 75 in the intervention and control groups, respectively. Participants were 37 years of age at baseline on average, and 70% were female. the average baseline BMI was 25.1 kilograms per meter squared. There were no differences in baseline characteristics between the intervention and control groups, which were matched for age, sex, ethnicity, education level, BMI, body composition, and BMD. The achieved energy restriction in the intervention group was 19.5% at 6 months, 10.8% at 1 year, and 8.3% at 2 years. Change in BMD. At both 1 year and 2 years of the study, BMD at each site, i.e. lumbar spine, total hip, femoral neck, and intertrochanter, decreased significantly by 1.2 to 1.7% in the energy restriction intervention group compared to the ad libitum control group. This effect did not differ between men and women. The analysis demonstrated that the decrease in BMD was predicted by weight loss. Change in bone turnover markers. Measured levels of bone resorption markers increased by around 28% at 1 year and remained elevated by 20% at 2 years. This was accompanied by around a 7% decrease in measured bone formation markers. Geekbox. Intention to treat analysis. In a randomized control trial, it is important to match both arms of the trial to ensure that there's not one side influenced or biased towards the results more than the other. This can be a problem if there is, for example, a high dropout rate in one arm of the trial. The other arm will then have more statistical power, and it may overinflate the effect of that arm versus the comparative arm or the control if it is a control arm. Intention to treat, or ITT, is where the researchers will conduct analysis as if all subjects randomized in the trial completed it, irrespective of whether they dropped out or didn't comply with the protocol. Dropout and non-compliance are two issues which face many trials, in particular nutrition and weight loss interventions. True intention to treat analysis requires complete data to be available for all subjects who didn't complete the trial according to the protocol. However, that data is not always available, and so often researchers will make assumptions based on, for example, a last data point or a baseline measurement. Let's say a participant dropped out of a 1 year weight loss trial after 6 months. The researchers would use their baseline weight and their weight at 6 months and the change in weight as the data included in the statistical analysis, as if the participant had completed the full study. Intention to treat is a positive because it maintains the study sample size, and it assumes a real-world practicality because in the real world, not everyone is compliant with the protocol. The critical breakdown. Pros. The study had clearly presented aims and is one of the few studies to investigate the effects of deliberate energy restriction in otherwise healthy, lean young adults. Randomization was stratified for factors like sex and BMI to ensure balance between groups. Energy expenditure and requirements were assessed using doubly labeled water, the gold standard method of measurement. Bone was comprehensively assessed with both BMD measures using DEXA scans and markers of bone turnover. 1 month of meals were provided to participants to aid compliance with the targeted energy restriction. Personnel conducting the outcome assessments were blinded to the group allocation of participants. The statistical analysis used intention to treat, a positive given that there were more dropouts from the intervention group. The statistical analysis also sought to identify the primary factors related to the loss of BMD, potentially beyond the effects of weight loss alone. Vitamin D and calcium were supplemented at sufficient doses and maintained levels throughout the study. We'll discuss this more under key characteristic. Cons. The target level of 25% energy restriction was never achieved in the intervention group, highlighting the difficulties of adherence to such prescribed levels of energy. The rationale for the unequal randomization ratio of 2 to 1 was not provided. We could presume this reflected an anticipation that more participants would drop out of the intervention group. Indeed, an anticipated high dropout rate is one of the justifications for an unequal randomization ratio, and 26 participants dropped out of the intervention group compared to 4 in the control group. This analysis was a secondary analysis of data from the overall calorie trial, which was designed to investigate the effects of energy restriction on aging. Thus, bone-related outcomes were not primary intended outcomes of the parent RCT and are best considered as exploratory findings. Key characteristic. As noted in the What We Know section, micronutrients take center stage in the literature on nutrition and bone health, and total energy intake is often an afterthought. However, interactions between total energy, macronutrients, protein in particular, and critical bone micronutrients such as calcium and vitamin D have been demonstrated in this area of research. An important aspect of any RCT is isolating the independent effects of the exposure or treatment in the intervention group. In the case of the present study, the exposure of interest was clearly stated as energy restriction and the effects of energy restriction and weight loss on bone. Isolating any potential effect of energy restriction and weight loss required that factors like vitamin D status, calcium intake, and protein were maintained at adequate levels for the duration of the study. And the key characteristic of this trial is that this was achieved. Vitamin D levels, as measured 25-hydroxy-D3, were around 75 nanomol per liter, which is the range at which maximal intestinal absorption of calcium is observed, and where parathyroid hormone levels, which is the principal hormone influencing bone resorption and release of calcium from bone, are prevented from increasing. In addition, calcium supplementation at 1,000 milligrams and dietary protein intake of around 1.1 gram per kilogram of body weight would be expected to further prevent calcium losses, which have been shown, along with increased parathyroid hormone levels, at protein intakes of less than 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. Thus, the study was well executed in controlling for these crucial nutrient factors, thereby isolating effects of the weight loss consequent on energy restriction in the intervention group. Interesting finding. Following on from the previous section, the interesting finding from the present study is its main finding of the decrease in BMD over 2 years of energy restriction and sustained weight loss. The relationship between energy intake, calcium, and BMD was demonstrated in a 2003 cross-sectional study of elderly adults with an average age of around 68.6 years, where higher intakes of both energy and calcium were associated with higher BMD independent of each other. Thus, both energy and calcium were independently associated with BMD, again highlighting the importance of maintaining sufficient calcium intake in the present study. However, evidence from weight loss interventions and total energy intake have yielded some conflicting findings that may relate to two important factors that influence bone: age and time. A 2006 study by Villarreal and colleagues in older adults with an average age of 57 years undergoing a 15% energy restriction showed decreases in bone mineral density following energy restriction and consequent weight loss. This study showed that bone mineral density decreased as the magnitude of weight loss increased, with a moderate strength of correlation. However, there is also evidence from a 2008 RCT that BMD may be preserved in younger adults with an average age of 37 years in that trial, undergoing energy restriction once adequate calcium intakes are maintained. But what is noteworthy is that this previous trial was only 6 months in duration. The present study is 2 years in duration, and the difference in BMD between groups were only significant after 1 year. Thus, it is likely that the prior studies suggesting that energy restriction and weight loss may not result in BMD losses in healthy younger adults was too short to detect any real changes. Relevance. Given the 2 year duration of the present study and the population of healthy, lean young adults, the present study supersedes prior research in this area and represents the most up-to-date evidence on this question. The findings indicate that energy restriction and related weight loss sustained over a 2 year period increases bone resorption and decreases bone formation, resulting in loss of bone mineral density. However, context is always important. First, it is important to remind ourselves that changes in biomarkers do not necessarily mean that a, quote, hard clinical endpoint, which in the case of bone is fractures, is inevitable. The authors of the present study, to their credit, put their findings into proper context. Although there were, quote, statistically significant decreases in BMD, the absolute magnitude of these changes was minuscule and would translate to less than a 0.5% increase in risk of fractures over 10 years in a woman around 50 years of age. The second important piece of context relates to the potential impact of the other primary lifestyle factor influencing bone health, namely physical activity. In their 2006 RCT, Villarreal and colleagues compared methods of achieving weight loss with either energy restriction alone or exercise. While both groups lost the same amount of weight, around 8 to 10% from baseline, the change in body weight only correlated with loss of bone mineral density in the energy restriction group, while there were no significant changes in BMD in the exercise group. Thus, physical activity may attenuate or prevent any potential adverse effects of energy restriction and weight loss on bone. The final important piece of context relates to the intended aims of the calorie trial, sustaining an energy deficit of 25% over years. As both the lack of achieving the targeted energy deficit and the around 6-to-1 dropout ratio between the intervention and control group both demonstrate, few people are about that life. Application to practice. There are several factors that emerge from this literature. The first is, of course, the importance of maintaining appropriate intakes of micronutrients crucial to bone, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and potassium, in addition to vitamin D3 levels and other cofactors, in particular vitamin K. As stated, these nutrients take much of the focus in research on nutrition and bone health. However, it is also clear that there is a relationship between energy intake, weight loss, and bone mineral density, and the present study suggests this modest decline in BMD, although perhaps not one that would be expected to lead to significant increases in fracture risk, is related to energy restriction and weight loss, independent of the critical bone health micronutrients. However, the wider research also suggests that physical activity and exercise may attenuate any potential decreases in bone mineral density related to weight loss. And let's think about the generalizability of the present study. We are not likely to be recommending 2 years of sustained energy restriction to anyone. Ultimately, it is important to remember that the two main lifestyle factors that influence bone mass, nutrition and physical activity, are modifiable factors, and that in population subgroups prone to bone mineral density loss, i.e. postmenopausal women and the elderly, the boring but solid advice applies. Good nutrition and exercise are what someone can look to aside from picking their parents for genes.